All right. So we have Christy Duffy from what part of Jersey?
I'm from North Jersey.
From North Jersey. For your business, you're predominantly an investor?
Yes. I'm also a licensed realtor, but I'm predominantly an investor in New York and New Jersey.
Okay. And you're doing fix and flip with your main strategy or?
Well, we try to focus more on multifamily, but we do a lot of fix and flips along the way. So we dabble.
But you're doing fix and flip to generate cash, and then you use that to buy multifamily so you don't have to pay taxes, the earned income tax on your flips.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's Ooh, right. Somebody got one of the good brains. That's good for you.
Thanks. Yeah. And I just got licensed as a realtor late last year to try and help also offset some of the costs of listing the properties and just so it's easier to kind of go and see things and make offers and stuff. So
smart. How big's your team?
It's just me and my husband. I actually quit my job last year to do this full time because we've been doing it part. Thank you. Yeah, it's been great. It was a dream to be able to do that. So my husband and I have been doing this as a side hustle basically for the past 4.5 years. And then I quit my job last year to do it full time. So it's been
great. I'm curious what you would say to somebody who's working a W-2 job that is afraid to take that jump. If you had it to do over again, would you have committed earlier to full time and scaled the business faster? Or do you think you did it the right way?
No, I wouldn't have committed full time from the beginning because we were dumping a lot of money into the properties and refinancing them out because it was basically a snowball. And so to really get it started, we essentially saved money for the first down payment, for the first renovation, and then it's gotten easier and easier from there. But there was a huge learning curve for us because neither of us worked in construction or real estate or anything to do with it. We just kind of got the bug and renovated a 2-family, moved in there, kind of house hacked, and then progressively worked up the courage to do a flip. Now we're building a small apartment building. So it's really been a slow progression and it's definitely gaining momentum and speed. And it got to the point where it was overwhelming to manage the business and be working. So we made the decision that I was the lucky one to quit first. He's still working, but works with me when he can. And it's picking up speed and momentum. So it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. So does your passive income stream equal your old salary or surpass it?
Yes. And we have, yes. So this year I will be my first calendar year in November that I left my job. So with the flips we're selling and with our rentals, I should surpass my personal income. And we have the building that's going up that'll really be a game changer when it's done, but it's not going to be done this year. No way. So
awesome. Well, that's an exciting story. So you'd reached out to look for some help on like how to potentially JV with the state. Tell me, do you have one, a live one, or is this theoretical?
Yeah. So this is a real-time scenario that I'm actually working on right now. That so we've done a lot of renovations and we've actually started to seek investors who are silent partners. We own the house and we flip it and we do what we normally do, but they invest.
When you say investor, are they taking an LP spot on an operating agreement or are they taking a first mortgage or how are you securing the investment?
Yeah, no, they're literally just signing a contract. They're not party to the LLC and they're not, well, in one of them they are. In another, we have 2 others we're doing right now that they're not on the LLC and they don't have a lien on the house or anything. They're just basically, sorry, my dogs are going, sorry. When anybody said to wear like a male and then they go nuts. So yeah, it's just a signed agreement that really agree to pay them X amount of interest. And we have 12 months, similar to like terms that you do with a hard money lender. So.
But you're basically doing it with a promissory note.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So, but for this new example, I want to make sure I'm structuring it correctly because we're not going to own the house.
Correct.
So it's they own the home, they're distressed and we're just like, let me just sell it as is. And I said, we really could get triple if we renovate for very little cost, like $25,000. And I just am trying to figure out how to structure it in a way that I'm protected and they're protected so that they don't turn on and say, you know what, I don't want to sell anymore or after I do the work because I'm fronting all the renovation costs.
Yeah. How many heirs are there?
2.
And one is the executor or executrix?
The yes, there's one executor, and I've spoken to both of the heirs.
And they're both on the same page, and they want to sell, period. But your goal is to get them the most equity possible and get a free house to flip.
Yes, exactly. They both...
I can't do that. That sounds too good to be true.
Well, they were like, I want to sell. How much can I get? And as a realtor, I said, well, you can get a lot more if you fix. And they were like, let's do that. But then they were struggling with insurance. And I don't think they could or wanted to come up with the renovation. They were just sick of it. They're not local. They're like, please just list it for us for the fraction. And I said, look, you're really leaving so much money on the table. Like, why don't I split the profits with you and I'll do all the work and I'll make an investment for you. So it's a really great deal, I think, for everybody, you know?
So your as is value, like if you put it on MLS as is, what's it worth right now?
I think as is about 100,000.
Okay. And what's your ARV, like a retail flip ARV?
300,000.
Okay. And your CapEx, like your repairs?
25,000.
No way.
Yeah, because it's a great house. It's just that a pipe burst and flooded the kitchen area, the living dining room area, and buckled all the floors. But the cabinets are really great. The appliances are all new.
So you're going to have a cost basis of $125,000 with a sale price of $300,000.
Yeah.
You got to do this deal.
They also have, I think, and this is where like the concerns come in. So they told me they have a mortgage on the house for, I think, about $60,000 is the total lien amounts. But I want.
And is that in the decedent's name?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's going to.
More likely than not.
It's probably in the estate's name by now because they've been dealing with this. This has been going on a while. I'd have to find out.
But the title hasn't transferred. Otherwise, the note would be paid, right? Probate's still open. Otherwise, they couldn't have transferred title and satisfied the note.
I think probate is still open. I didn't find them through the normal way of sending letters because they filed for probate. Mm. It was a referral. So I'd have to look to see how long.
Well, this is a fun one. So normally what we do, we establish an as-is value, like a basis value for the asset. That's on the side of the balance sheet of the family. That's the estate. So they're obviously bringing $100,000 in as-is value to the table. You bring in construction, insurance, systems, you know, all the expertise you bring to the table. And you're paid top line. You take your real estate commission on the disposition. You take any construction fees. Like, it's very generous to do cost plus 15 on a deal like this, but you can do cost plus 25. It's still within reason, especially what contractors are demanding today. So you could take, you know, 15% construction management fee. You could take your 6% brokerage. That's all above the line. But what you're going to split is the true net. Now, it sounds like in this scenario, we've got a couple of small unknowns, but what you may end up doing in order to not transfer title. And I'll go back and say there's different ways to structure these. You can use joint venture agreements. You can use limited partnerships. You can use a fresh LLC. My favorite is a land trust. So my company is the trustee and the beneficiary of, or one of the beneficiaries, but the sole trustee of 123 Walnut Street Land Trust. I'm not 100% sure in Jersey. I know like in Pennsylvania, you still have to pay transfer tax, but in Virginia, you don't. So I can close into a land trust and not have to pay for tax stamps. I can close into a land trust and most likely never trigger a due on sale clause from a lender. So that's when the sticking point on this one, the big question mark is that $60,000 note. So let's talk about the options for that. Option one is you pay off the lender and they're not a problem. If the family has that money, they can do that. If you have that money, you can do that. You basically would need to just adjust the cap table, right? So if you were to do that, then they would have $100,000 in equity that they're bringing to the table. You have everything that you're going to do in the future. If you bring $60,000 cash, then their basis value comes down to, you know, that you take that off. So they have a $40,000 position. You covered the 60. So you can account for it that way and just basically buy it, like roll it into a land trust with a purchase agreement where you could purchase the home subject to the existing agreement staying in place. And then they would be either a limited partner in an LLC or a beneficiary on a land trust. Either way, however that works out, you know, I think you can definitely do the deal. You may have to pay the lender off worst case scenario, and then we just adjust your equity in the deal on the front end.
Right.
So that gets accounted for. In a perfect world, the easy way to do this is if we could just talk to a New Jersey attorney and say, hey, can we set up a land trust, roll this asset in? My company is the trustee. We're beneficiaries at this percentage each. And if we can take it subject to that existing lien staying in place, then you can be 50-50 partners and you split the net. These ultimately come down to the creativity is up to you. The legality is up to an attorney that says, hey, this is the best vehicle for your tax situation, for the estate situation. We always let an attorney make that final call, but you definitely have it's definitely a doable deal. And you're going to put an extra probably $75,000 in their pocket.
So that's a really great idea. And I did reach out to my attorney but I thought putting it in a land trust is an excellent idea. What I'm wondering is if we close on it to put it in the land trust, does that mean essentially title would be run at that time to determine if there are any other liens that I don't know about, for example? Okay.
That's why I'm suggesting that, because we want to have clear general warranty deed proof of. The only lien we hope that comes up is that one first mortgage for $60,000. If that's the case, then take it subject to into the land trust. And again, if it's on their side of the deal, they're responsible for debt service. So we need to make sure that they're going to continue to service the debt while you're holding the house in inventory. It sounds like key to key, you're probably going to be 60 days back on the market. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, hopefully less.
Yeah. I mean, this is a nice base hit deal. So even if they can't service the debt, it's not a huge risk because there's no way you're going to get foreclosed on in 90 days. And you know that, I mean, you're going to be able to sell the home quickly at that price, right?
Right.
But I'm not too concerned about that, even if they like it. And it sounds like they probably can easily afford to service the debt. They just didn't want to come out of pocket for construction and you know, bigger things. And I mean, what's the payment? $250 maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so, because I know they stopped paying the utility bills because the lights were out when I was over there last time. I notified them about that. So they're not local, but I am. So I'm trying to basically step in and help them where I can. But yeah, this makes me feel much more comfortable about it, because of course, my big concern was simply like without ownership of the home, I don't have the control if they turn around and say, you know, actually, we don't want to sell anymore. I wanted to make sure.
Right. And that's the number one thing that your attorney needs to address for you is what happened. How can I control the sale of the asset? Mm-hmm. And the land trust, like the home can't be sold without your signature as a trustee. So they can't sell it out from under you to somebody else. If you roll the home into a land trust, they decide that, you know, screw her, we're going to sell it anyways. We'll cut her out of the deal. Well, what they're going to find out is when they go run title, then they're going to come to you saying, hey, Christy, can we get your signature on this so we can actually transfer title? Sure. Where's my $80,000? Yeah. Like I put all that money into that and did exactly what I said. So where's my $80,000? And by the way, there's a mechanic lien there too. And that's something you can do on the construction side. You guys can do to protect yourself is record mechanics liens for the contract work against the house. If everybody does what they say, it's no big deal. It just gets released. It's an extra $20 or whatever. But if anything were to go sideways and they tried to go a different direction than what you agreed to, then you've got protection on the asset.
Really good to know. Yeah, I didn't even think about the scenario of them trying to sell out from under me. That would be bad as well. So
I have friends that do this just on a handshake and they've been found even in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And we're talking $1 million net profit in those deals. And if the family gets $500,000, Brett gets $500,000, but he's been lucky. He's never had anyone try to, you know, turn around on him in the deal. And it's unlikely to happen, but we always have to protect our own assets, right?
Right. Yeah.
So That's why having the LLC route is going to be far more expensive, because you're going to have to sit down and actually forge the operating agreement that offers you these protections and specifically, you know, says here's what the rights are and differentiates between your stock and their stock, like the A stock and the B stock, or a general partner share and a limited partner share. Mm-hmm. Where with the land trust, everybody, you know, a beneficiary, they all have the same rights, but as the trustee, you have some control there. And also ask your attorney, you know, like, what is the best way to explicitly say Christie has control of sale? And if they're not okay with it, if any time, and I would do all these meetings, I would do transparently with all parties present. So it's over Zoom, probably more likely than not, but do Zoom calls where everybody says, hey, the whole point of this first call is to get all of your concerns, all of your questions. Let's get everything on the table. And I've done this with bigger groups. Like, I just finished putting together an investment club with 12 high net worth friends and family. And we did, that's how we did it. We sat with the attorney. We had a very transparent meeting. We said, all right, what's your biggest fear? What do you not understand? What apprehension do you have? No matter how big or how small, everything was put on the table and dealt with one item at a time. And within 2 hours of meeting, like 2 hours one day, an hour one day, an hour the next, we had a 45-page operating agreement that I think will survive anything we can invest in as a group. So it can come together really quickly. Now, that's probably going to cost you $4,000 to $5,000 if you're doing that for an LLC.
Yeah.
Now, if you do that as a trust, it's going to be far less. I mean, I form land trusts for $500
Okay.
And you're done. Now, that's in Virginia. I'm in a low cost of living area. It might be $1,000 where you are, but it's typically more affordable to do it that way. And, you know, you could even start with a letter of intent. Like, I, Christie Duffy, intend to do X, Y, and Z. And then the second part, I, estate of Mary Jones, you know, we intend to do, and just document intents from the very beginning. So if anything ever would go sideways, you can always say, look, this is signed, notarized, witnessed. You guys expressed your intent, and here's a trail of every meeting we had and, you know, everything that we did. I've actually never seen one of these go sideways, because these families aren't looking for, why are they going to cause trouble for you? You just showed them how to make an extra $80,000 and do nothing. Like, you're going to be a trusted advisor to them. I'm overly cautious when it comes to legalities of things like this usually, but I've fortunately never had a situation because of either, because we had really clear expectations from the outset and everybody felt like things were being done above board. They didn't question things that I was doing. They just trusted, hey, you know, he's got our back. He has from the first time we talked to him. So, and it sounds like you already have a good attorney.
Yeah, I have a fantastic attorney, and I think it's really smart to bring them in on the meeting. I didn't think of doing that because I want them to trust me. I feel like I've never even met the actual executor. He's out of state. He's in the military, so he's all over the place. And so I've met the sister, but, you know, they don't. He seems pretty trusting and very excited about this whole thing, but obviously he doesn't know me at all. So I want them to feel comfortable.
Yeah, the other part, the more human part of this is once you've got the deal structure, like the legal structure in place, so everybody's clear on a strategy. Get out of camera every opportunity you have, every Zoom call you do with them, like capture that emotion, capture what you're doing for the family, clip that down into a highlight reel. So the next time one of these deals come up, you could be like, oh my gosh, I have an amazing case study that I did with the Joneses. Here's what we did for them. And that should be a page on your website, like, you know, probate partnerships. And like have that as part of your marketing campaign. That's where you cold traffic can come to it, but literally a page, you know, a link in your menu to probate partnerships, and then just document this story. Like we met, we were getting ready to dump the house for $100,000. We actually less than 60 days later sold it for $300,000. Here, yeah. I've watched the story here. So document the heck out of this, because so few people find the courage to do it. Like I've trained thousands of people, and dozens have actually completely like done deals this way. And the other thing is when you're, as you guys, it's fun to watch you, like, thanks for telling us your story, but as you grow and you guys continue to scale this, I mean, it's obvious you're thinking big and you're acting big. There's opportunities to do this with big parcels of vacant land, and you can create subdivisions with seven-figure paydays just by doing everything we've talked about here. only instead of on a house, it's just done on a piece of raw land. And unfortunately, we lost him to COVID, but one of my early students in probate mastery was in central Ohio, like in the Columbus market. So you had a lot of farmland that, you know, my generation inherited the farm and moved out of town, and they had, you know, their lives in Chicago, but it was along the interstate, or it was near an industrial park, or he would find these estates that had a couple hundred acres of ag land. He would go in, do this exact thing, structure the JV just like we've been discussing. He would do planning, the permitting, the curbing, the guttering, and basically subdivide the property. He might put 100 or 200 into it, but hell, he would create a couple $1 million in equity, and he would get $1 million, they would get $1 million. So you take a piece of farmland that, you know, needs a bunch of work because it hasn't been farmed and kept up. It might have a $250,000 market value. And he was turning them into like $2 million subdivisions. And he only did one or two deals a year. He rode his motorcycle and played with his grandkids. But unfortunately, and he was a friend of mine too, but that you can think bigger on these deals. Think about how many families inherit property in Jersey that even if it's turned into a parking lot or, you know, whatever it might be. So like, this is a great deal for you to cut your teeth on. It sounds like a really easy one. You should be able to impress the heck out of them because your cycle is going to be so short, maybe inside of 30 days back to market.
Yeah. And it is such a good deal for it because the margins are so healthy that I feel totally comfortable, not worried at all about it, you know, slim margins, and they're not really excited about it. And the biggest hang up we get when we meet with people is, of course, like haggling over price. Well, the market's so hot right now, I should just list it with a realtor. So I think this will be a really great example. We can kind of show some other families where if they're really stuck on price, we can kind of show them how much more they can get if we renovate it, because all these houses, this one is, you know, with the first pipe is obviously unlivable, but every single house we go into pretty much looks the same where it's like, you know,
we can take this deal. We'll rebuild your whole marketing approach. We will do a story campaign. And the whole idea there, you capture this deal and you open a letter and say, we have a social enterprise right here in the community that just helped the Jones estate make 200,000 or, you know, make 150,000 more than they thought they could. And that's like a headline. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is saying, I'm a realtor, you know, I'm an investor. I buy houses, I list houses. And you're just sending them a story in the mail. And it's like, you know, my name's Christy Duffy. I'm a certified probate expert and have a social enterprise right here in the community. I'm sure you probably don't know what that means. That's why I'm sending you this story. And just go in and say, you know, we met. They wanted to sell. I obviously hold myself to a high standard of ethics and professionalism. So I have a real estate license. I also have an investment company. But what I saw was best for them wasn't for me to buy the house or me to list the house. I actually found a way to turn it into, in less than 30 days, turn it into $80,000 for the estate. And just a simple, concise version of the story and say, you know, please go to this page to jump on my calendar or feel free to call me anytime at this number. And we're going to take a whole different approach. We didn't say, we're not trying to sell anything. We're not trying to self-promote. The story isn't about your business. The story is about the family that you help. And that's what we're trying to get them to do is we want them to identify as the Joneses and like see them working with your team. I mean, you document this and get a good story. We can turn it into a hell of a marketing campaign and we can go to social. We can take it and form community Facebook groups for these families. You know, use that story to kind of build momentum in a community group. Now, this is a really, really good deal because one, it's going to be easy. It's going to be profitable. It's a great one to learn from. That's very low risk. And I think we're going to get some really good marketing collateral out of it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great idea. I love that idea of sending out the story in the mail for our monthly mailing. So
great. Yeah. Idea. So yeah, as much video as possible on this one, because we can make a really cool highlight reel, like put together the Zoom calls, bring in some of their concerns, some of their negative comments, like, oh, Christy, what if this happens? And then we can contrast that toward the end of the video. And I'm talking a 3 or 4 minute video, but toward the end of it with their testimonial, we'll create that contrast in the story. Like, we were scared to death. We didn't know her. We've never done a deal like, you know, we didn't know that things like this could be done. And in the end, they're like, oh my God, she made us $80,000 in a month. She's amazing. And it'll be a really powerful marketing piece for you.
Awesome.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for reaching out, by the way. Yeah. Grant said, hey, you know, I think I think you probably ought to handle this. And I'm like, I love these deals. These are the best. And good for you for having the courage to do this. Like, yeah, this is easy. You got this. Like I said, most people won't even try it. Well, you're thinking big and taking action on it. I love that.
Well, thank you for all the sound advice. I think this is going to be a huge, huge help because I was really stumped on how to approach it. And now I feel much more excited about the deal and ready to kind of get it going for them.
You're developing multifamily. This is a bunt.
Well, I think this deal will be a lot easier than that. That's for sure.
A lot.
So totally.
Yeah. Well, cool. Is there anything else I can do to help you?
No, but this has been immensely helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I can't wait for our follow-up call. Good luck with this one. If you get stuck or have questions anywhere along the lines, give me a shout.
I certainly will. Thanks, Chad.
All right. Thanks, Christy.